Psalm 37, beginning in verse 1. David the psalmist, the king, the man that was declared to be a man after God's own heart, he begins to write here, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken." Friends, how much more enjoyment, how much more joy, period, would we get out of life if we would simply learn to trust the Lord, as David admonishes us to do here in the 37th Psalm. We should trust God in every circumstance of life. And that's what I want us to talk about and study together a little bit tonight. As we look at Psalm 37 in verses 1 through 15, there are about five things that I want us to notice together and consider how we should place our trust in God and in what situations should we place our trust in God. The very first thing that David points out is that we should trust in God when we are oppressed, when we're being beaten down. Notice again verses 1 and 2. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Why, David? Why should we not worry about these things? Notice verse 2. "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Oppression is not going to last forever. And those that would oppress us, they're going to be dealt with. They're going to be gone soon enough. And as we look at this psalm, we also notice the same idea there in verses 8 and 9. "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Why? For evildoers shall be cut off." But notice the contrast there in verse 9. "Those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." The Lord is going to take care of them. He's going to see to their needs. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11, there Paul writing to Timothy is speaking of his persecutions. And Paul said, "Out of them all the Lord delivered me." Now you think of everything that Paul had suffered. You turn to say, let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 very quickly. Notice all of these things and these areas in which Paul had been oppressed. And notice what he says about them to Timothy chapter 3, verse 11 of 2 Timothy. He says he had been delivered out of all of them, and it was the Lord that had done it. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, let's begin in verse 24. Actually, let's go back up to verse 23. "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. And labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft." Now notice these things beginning now, verse 24. "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, and weariness and painfulness and watchings often and hunger and thirst and fastings often and cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh on me daily, the care of all the churches." Well, what's Paul saying? Out of all these things, being beaten by the Jews, his own brethren, 5 different times. He was beaten with rods 3 different times, and those rods being by the Greeks or the Romans, and having no such stipulation as the Jews had, and so they could beat him just as long as they wanted to. He was shipwrecked, trying to go and tell others about the good news of Jesus Christ and His kingdom, which we discussed this morning. Suffered all of these things, and who does he say delivered him? The Lord. Where did Paul place his trust? He placed his trust in the Lord. Turn over now to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I want us to notice verses 16 through 18. Paul writes, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." What's Paul saying? And how might we look at this today? Regardless of what situation we find ourselves in, friends, we can be assured that even if all of our friends and family forsake us, who's going to be standing by our side if we stand by His? The Lord. We need to trust in the Lord when we are oppressed. In verse 17, Paul says, "The Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Even though everybody forsook him, nobody was there to help him, nobody was there to care for him, but Paul says, "The Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Verse 18, he says, "The Lord will deliver me and preserve me." Friends, do we trust in the Lord? Do we trust God enough to live as Paul lived? Can we say honestly that for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain? Can we live that way? Do we trust in God that much? Friends, we should trust in God when we are oppressed. Number two, as we continue our study in Psalm 37, verse 3 teaches us that we ought to trust in God as we work. Psalm 37 and verse 3, we read there, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." We should trust in God as we work. Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 12 that the sleep of hard work is sweet. Now, anybody that's ever worked really out in the world in a secular job, you know what I'm talking about. It may have been that you've had to work overtime. You've maybe had to work an 18-hour day. How nice does that bed feel when you crawl in it at night? There could be a tornado come through your bedroom and it would never wake you. Why? Because the rest, the sleep of hard work is sweet. It's good. It's a good thing. We should trust God as we work throughout our lives so that our rest upon our deaths is going to be will be that much sweeter. Also notice there at the end of verse 3, "So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Friends, if we work for the Lord, we don't really need to worry about anything physical, do we? We don't need to worry about anything physical. What we're going to eat tomorrow? What am I going to wear to keep me to keep me warm? What are we going to do in our day? We don't have to worry about that as Christians. Why? Jesus said so himself in Matthew chapter 6, didn't he? The Sermon on the Mount. He gave this whole laundry list of physical needs that men have, and he says in verse 33, it all culminates there. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, And all of these things of which I've just mentioned, all of these physical needs that you have, all these things shall be added unto you. You're going to have them. You don't have to worry about your physical needs. In 2 Thessalonians 3:10 through 12, it is there that Paul writes to the Thessalonican brethren. And he says there that they had been admonished that if a man will not work, neither should he eat. And then he goes on there in verse 12, and he tells them to work in quietness and to eat their own bread. Friends, we should trust in God as we work, knowing that He's going to provide. We're blessed to be able to work, to be able to provide for our families. God has blessed us in that. He's seeing to our needs as we work with one another and for the Lord. We should trust in God as we do so. Number three, we should trust in God as we think. We should trust in God as we think. I want us to notice a couple of things here. First of all, let's notice again verse 4, where David says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." All right? Remember, friends, that as we read the word heart here, he's talking about our minds, our desire, the innermost thoughts of a person. So, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." We can stay in the Psalms, and if we turn over to Psalm 63, we read together there verses 6 through 8. Again, David being the writer of this psalm, we read there, "When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me." 119 and verse 48 mentions meditation upon the statutes of the Lord. Psalm 119 and verse 23, as well as verse 78, mentions meditating upon the law of the Lord, meditating upon His statutes. His thoughts are constantly centered upon God. We'll see that in the New Testament as well. Philippians 4 and verse 8, a verse that I believe that every Christian should be familiar with. We're reading Philippians 4 and verse 8 where Paul says to them, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Friends, do we allow God to be the focal point of our lives to the point that our thoughts center upon Him? That whatever decision that we might be having to make, that we trust in God to the point that we will go to Him in prayer, as will be our next point. That we'll seek His guidance through His Word. That we'll meditate upon what He's had to say to us through His Word. We must trust in God as we think. Number four, let's trust in God as we pray. There are more and more people, it seems, even within the brotherhood, that are diminishing or really not believing in the power of prayer. Friends, prayer is a powerful thing. And it is an essential part of the Christian's life. In their walk with God. Notice with me again verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 37. "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also on Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." Friends, we should indeed trust in God as we pray. In Philippians 4 and verse 6, Paul writes there, "Be careful for nothing. Be anxious in nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." But friends, if God is an all-knowing being, and He's all-powerful, He already knows what my needs are, why doesn't He just provide? what that is. We still have to take it to Him in prayer, don't we? We still have to seek His guidance. Sometimes He's just waiting on us to ask. Sometimes that's all we need to do. God's going to take care of us. But we need to trust that He's going to answer our prayers. James says much the same thing in James 1, 5 through 8. We'll get there in a moment. But I want you to notice with me next, before we get to James chapter 1, I want you to notice with me Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And I want us to notice these elements of prayer, this attitude of prayer that we are to have as Christians and trusting in God as we go to Him in prayer. In Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, we read, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed unto the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession," that is our profession of faith. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore now come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now put that together with James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, and we see why we need to go before the throne of God boldly and not in a timid manner. In James chapter 1, beginning of verse 5, we read, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, boldly," putting it with Hebrews, "nothing wavering." Be bold about it. "For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man that thinketh he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Friends, we have the privilege of, as Christians, to go to God in prayer. And we ought to approach that throne of grace boldly, so that we may find help in time of need. Do we trust in God even as we hit our knees to pray? We need to. And David tells us as much there in Psalm 37. Then number 5. Not only should we trust Him when we are oppressed, as we work, as we think, and as we pray, but friends, we should trust in God as we wait. Notice again Psalm 37 and verse 7. "Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Friends, we must realize as Christians that the Lord is going to accomplish His purpose, His will, in His own time. When we think of that, and we think of that properly, I believe we better understand what Peter has to say when he says, 1,000 years is to the Lord as one day, and one day is 1,000 years. All that means is that time matters nothing to God. He's infinite. He's not bound by time like you and I are. And so the Lord is going to accomplish His purpose, His will, in His own time. Notice again Psalm 37. Verses 10 through 15, and notice this principle here. "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as of upright... as be of upright conversation, their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken." The Lord's going to accomplish His purpose. It may not be in the time frame that we may like it to be, but we can rest assured that when God says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. When God says He's going to take care of His Christian children, He's going to take care of them. He's going to see that their needs are met. The Lord's going to accomplish His will in His own time. In Psalm 27, beginning of verse 13, we read, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Proverbs writer writes in Proverbs 20 and verse 22, "Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee." Finally, friends, I want you to read with me verses, Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Revelation 6, 9 through 11. We must trust in the Lord as we wait. We read beginning in verse 9, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." The Lord says, wait. Wait. Friends, we're waiting on the Lord even now. Waiting on His return for the end of this world. We're waiting for the judgment day. Our question for you tonight is, do you trust in God? Do you trust in God when you are oppressed? Do you trust in God when you work in His kingdom? Do you trust in God as you meditate, as you think upon His Word? Do you trust in Him as you pray? Friends, do you trust in God even now as you wait for the coming judgment day? Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our songbooks, ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Friends, our simple question tonight is, do you trust God? Do you trust God? And if you do, friends, if you're saying to yourself even now, yes, I trust God, do you trust Him to guide you in the way that He would have you to go? Do you trust Him to do what He says that He would do? For friends, in His Word, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we read what we must do to be added to His kingdom so that He will save our souls. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of the living God, that He came to this earth and He bled and died for the remission of your sins? If you believe that, friend, are you willing to repent of sin, confess Him before men, and be baptized, immersed in water, buried into His death, and arise again, even as He rose the third day to walk in newness of life? Would you do those things this evening? Do you trust in God that much? Friend, are you here having done those things at some point in the past? Where is your trust? Do you place your trust in God, or do you place your trust in the riches of this world? What will it be? Christ were to return this very evening, where would you be found? Friend, if you have a need, we ask that you come while we stand and while we sing.